And now it's time for Maine's Political Pulse. I'm joined by Maine Public State House correspondent Kevin Miller. Next week, voters will decide two issues that have been debated in Maine for years, even decades. Question one proposes a voter ID law and would change Maine's absentee voting process, while question two deals with a red flag gun law. Kevin, it seems like this referendum has been overshadowed by the primary battle between Governor Janet Mills and Graham Plattner, even though that election is still 8 months away, and of course, by the nonstop political news out of Washington. So let's start with a quick primer on these ballot initiatives. Tell us about question one.
Well, question one has two parts. The first would require all voters to show a photo ID in order to cast a ballot starting next year. And question one would also make multiple changes to Maine's absentee voting process, including eliminating 2 days of absentee balloting.
Okay, now give us a quick overview of question two, and then we'll get into more specifics on each measure.
Right, so question two proposes what's known as a red flag gun law. This would allow family members or members of a household to go directly to a judge to ask them to order someone to temporarily give up their guns. This is what's known as an extreme risk protection order, and it's basically a way to get someone to temporarily surrender their guns if they're suicidal or if they could pose a threat to other people.
So circling back to question one, this is a pretty complicated proposal. Can you break it down a bit? Like, what are the big changes that the groups behind question one are pushing for?
Sure. So let's start with the simpler part, the voter ID provisions. Basically, if this passes, starting next year, you'd have to produce a driver's license or a passport, a military ID, or a state-issued non-driver's ID in order to cast a ballot. And then if you're requesting an absentee ballot, you'd have to provide your driver's license number or a photocopy of that ID to your clerk. Voter ID laws are pretty common around the country. Maine is actually one of only 14 states that don't require voters to produce some sort of ID.
And then how about the absentee balloting parts of that question?
Yeah, so this is where things get more complicated. The bill is actually 11 pages long. The absentee balloting provisions alone occupy 9 pages of that bill. We don't have time to get into all of them right now, but I can highlight some of the biggest changes. First, it would eliminate 2 days of absentee balloting. It would also eliminate the option of having towns automatically send out absentee ballots to certain voters for every election, so they wouldn't have to request one year after year. Right now, this automatic delivery is only available to senior citizens and disabled voters, but that option would become available to all voters next year unless question one passes. Under question one, voters would also no longer be allowed to request absentee ballots over the phone or for an immediate family member. And if question one passes, towns would be limited to one drop box for absentee ballots.
So it sounds like there are some kind of competing narratives around what question one would actually do.
It almost seems like the two sides are talking about two completely different initiatives. Supporters have been focused largely on the voter ID provisions because these laws tend to have bipartisan support, and they say it reduces the likelihood of voter fraud. But opponents have just been hammering the absentee balloting changes. They say this will disenfranchise potentially tens of thousands of voters, and especially the elderly, the disabled, and minority groups. In fact, some groups have taken to calling it, quote, the voter suppression ballot question.
And what do we know about the groups that are heavily involved in the campaigns on both sides of this question?
So the petition drive to get question one on the ballot was led by a conservative political action committee called Dinner Table Action and its sister group For Our Future. Now, both of these groups have been led by a conservative activist, political activist named Alex Titcomb, and by Representative Laurel Libby, a Republican state lawmaker from Auburn who listeners might recognize from the debate over transgender athletes. And the Voter ID for Maine campaign has received almost all of its money from a national PAC called the Republican State Leadership Committee. The opposition, meanwhile, has been led by a group called Save Maine Absentee Voting. This is a coalition of more than 30 groups ranging from the League of Women Voters and Maine People's Alliance to the AFL-CIO Labor Union and the Wabanaki Alliance. And they've also received a lot of financial support from national groups like the National Education Association and other labor unions.
All right, so that's question one. Now let's turn to question two. This one proposes what's called a red flag gun law in Maine, but the state already has a yellow flag law. Can you explain the difference here?
Yeah, that's right. So Maine's yellow flag law has been on the books since 2020. It wasn't used much before the Lewiston mass shootings 2 years ago. but since then, it's been used more than once a day on average. The big differences between a red flag and a yellow flag law are basically who can initiate the process and then what has to happen before someone can be forced to surrender their guns. So under Maine's current yellow flag law, only police can go to a judge to start that process. The law then also requires that a healthcare professional evaluate the person, and then they have to agree that they pose a threat before a judge can issue the order. Under the red flag proposal, on the other hand, family members could go straight to a judge. They wouldn't have to involve police at all, although they still could. And then there's no mandatory mental health evaluation as part of question two.
And so what would happen to the yellow flag law if voters pass question two? Can you have a yellow flag and a red flag law at the same time?
That's been a big part of this debate. Both laws would stay on the books. Supporters of question two say this wouldn't affect the yellow flag law. It merely gives families an additional option. But opponents argue that the red flag law would dramatically undercut the current law. They basically ask, why would police or anyone else go through the additional steps that are required under the yellow flag law if they can red flag someone? And they say those steps are what makes Maine's law so much better than the nearly two dozen red flag laws in other states, because it adds that extra layer of due process to the targeted individual. And then finally, opponents say that the fact that the law has been used more than 1,000 times since Lewiston shows that it's working.
And then who are the groups behind the yes and no campaigns on question two?
The Maine Gun Safety Coalition and its allies got question two on the ballot because they say the Lewiston mass shootings prove that the yellow flag law is inadequate because it could have been used, but it wasn't. The opposition has been led by the Sportsman's Alliance of Maine, Gun Owners of Maine, and several smaller allied groups. And the No on Two campaign has also received very prominent support from Governor Janet Mills, who helped to negotiate the yellow flag law, and from law enforcement groups.
And Kevin, what are you expecting on Tuesday as far as voter turnout and where voters might come down on these two issues?
Well, it looks like turnout will probably be on the lower side. This is an off-year election, and these are the only two issues that are on the statewide ballot. Now, you know, many towns and cities are holding local elections, and some of them have pretty contentious local issues on their ballot as well. So that could always drive up voter interest in those areas. But because this will probably be a lower turnout election, I think the outcome on Tuesday is a bit more unpredictable. It all depends on who has a better last-minute get-out-the-vote push. The folks opposing question one have significantly outspent the voter ID campaign. And supporters of question two, the red flag gun proposal, have outspent opponents pretty significantly. But there's been very little polling of this, and the one poll that did come out from the University of New Hampshire Survey Center last week suggests that both question one and question two were too close to call.
And that was Maine Public Statehouse correspondent Kevin Miller. You can dive even deeper into these two ballot questions by reading our previous coverage on our website, mainepublic.org/pulse. That's also where you can sign up to receive our Political Pulse newsletter. Our music is by Rob Holt. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.